ask, Lord, that you may have your way. Father, you know all the ears that's listening to this broadcast and all the eyes that are looking. And Father, you know where they stand in their homes and their cars. Lord, wherever they may be, let that be their sanctuary today. And Father, we ask, Lord, that you may fill that place wherever they are. And Lord, that you may bless them as if they were in your house. Father, we ask, God, that even now that some may be challenging their bodies, that you may touch and heal in Jesus' name. Some might be going through situations. We ask, Lord, that you may intervene and help them. Father, put them in front of the line. Father, give them favor everywhere they go. And Lord, we thank you right now. We ask, Lord, that you may anoint this piece of clay. Lord, that your word may be declared to ears that hear and hearts that receive. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to use for a subject the palm. Palm Sunday is a Sunday before Resurrection Sunday. It is today. It is the day that commemorates or reminds us all of the wonderful and the glorious triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And these days was leading up to the time of his crucifixion. They had a custom in Jerusalem that in many other different lands of the far Middle East of taking branches of palm trees and completely covering the pathway of anyone who had the highest honor of that day. It was a part of the Roman games that they were playing. All types, such as kings and princes and governors, and anyone worthy of deserving honor. But I want to say today that the only person that deserved that kind of honor is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the anointed one. He is the miracle man. He is the teacher of teachers. He is our ruler and king. He heals the sick and raises the dead. He is the one that opened the blind eyes. He is the one that endureth heavy temptation. There isn't one king or anything that deserves worship like our Lord and our Savior. Webster describes worship as an extreme devotion or an intense love or adoration. But from the intellectual or superior standpoint, there is a difference between praising and worshiping him. To praise him is to lift him up and to thank him for all that he has done, all the ways that he has made, all the supplies that he has given us, for all that he has done. We praise him for that. But to really worship him is to acknowledge whom this Jesus is, and we give him worship. We have to acknowledge that he is the Word made flesh. We have to acknowledge that he is God in the flesh. And we have to acknowledge that he is the ruler and the king of this universe and that the earth belongs to him. In Psalms 95 and 6, it says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker." In Psalms 99 and 5, it says, "Exalt ye the Lord, our God, and worship at his footstool, for his is holy." We do not worship God just because we feel like it, or we have I'm in a good mood today, so I'm going to worship God. No, we do not worship him because everything seemed to be going right in our lives. We should worship him no matter what the case is and no matter what we're going through. He is still worthy and deserving of our praise. We must worship every day and every opportunity we have. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. Psalms 97 and 7 says, "Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods." That's a very key part. Worship him, all ye gods. What our Bible is really saying here is let all gods, every image, all idols, and all things that think they are gods, and everything that think they are equal to God, bow down and worship the true and the living God. Because every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, and they will bow and say, "He is God, our maker." Every image, every idol, everything that man has created will bow down. Every mouth and everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Everything that have breath, praise ye the Lord. Everything that have breath, praise ye the Lord. Our worship requires a sacrifice and a giving of ourselves. It requires an attitude of not just anything or any type of worship will do. You know, sometimes people just think whatever I give God, he should accept. But God got some rules too. Amen. Just like there's gifts that we don't accept, what we do, we don't throw them away. We re-give. We wrap them up again and send them to somebody else. I'm reminded of a story of this person. They had a sweater that they received. They didn't like the sweater, so they re-gifted it. And the person that they sent it to, they didn't like it either, so they re-gifted it again. And the person that they sent it to, they didn't like it either, so they re-gifted it again. But this time, they re-gifted it back to him. He didn't like it from the beginning, but he ended up getting it back after 4 or 5 times. But God accepts our gift when it's done with a perfect heart. The Bible says they took branches of palm trees to worship him with. The palm trees about 45 feet in height, and some will get as tall as 85 feet. The trunk of the palm tree is straight and tall. In fact, the stem of the tree provides a valuable amount of timber. Its branches grow from out of the top of the trunk, and its leaves are frequently 20 feet in length. The palm tree is food for millions. It provides sap and furnishes all kinds of agreeable wines. The leaves of the palm tree make branches. They make bushes. They make mats and bags and couches and baskets. And the people that celebrate the feast of the Passover were to take the branches of the palm tree and they were to worship him. We need to worship him every time we have a chance, because something happens and something changes the air of our atmosphere and in the spirit world when we begin to worship him. That's why the enemy don't want us to worship, because it changes stuff. It makes us radical. It makes us crazy. Amen. When we start worshiping him, we get the attitude that there's nothing too hard for God. And we begin to believe that whatever we ask God in his name, that he will do it. We just get that kind of attitude because it's our worship. It changes our thinking. It changes our atmosphere. The custom was that they would take their garments or nearby branch 8 to 20 feet long of a palm, and they would wave it and worship the Lord. Then they would take the same leaf and lay it down and bow before the king, crying, "Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord." And when they cried, "Hosanna, Hosanna," it meant, "Save, I pray thee, keep me and deliver me and preserve me." In Psalms 118:25, it says, "Save now. I beseech thee, O Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." The scripture was cited originally and many others to appeal for deliverance. So this scripture was to appeal for deliverance. "Lord, we need you to deliver." But it was Passover, and at this time, Israel's cry was not for that deliverance. Israel was saying, it was a cry of praise of deliverance. It was not for deliverance, it was of deliverance. You know, sometimes we have to praise God even though the situation don't seem like it's changed, like it's the same thing, but we praise God because we believe that he's going to do it, so we praise him. We used to sing a song that you don't have to wait till the battle is over. You can shout now. Well, you can certainly give God praise now, even though there's no evidence of your situation change, but you give him praise even while you wait. The Bible says some will never worship him. Luke 19:40 says, "And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if any of these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." The Pharisees wanted to stop the worship. They rebuked the disciples. The Bible said if they would have stopped worshiping him, that the rocks would surely cry out. This was the first time in history and the existence of God that he physically became enthroned before the people. Now, the word enthroned means to be elevated. So he was elevated. He was set on a throne. and everybody recognized who he was. This was the first time that he had ever been enthroned before his people. So they worshiped him. If the people would not have worshiped him, the rocks would have cried out. The stones would have cried out. Since Jesus Christ, our King of Kings, had enthroned himself, he demanded worship, or rocks and stones would take their place. He was going to have worship on that day. If no other day, he was going to have worship that day. Because when God is enthroned, he deserves all adoration, worship, and praise. Let me tell you, once he is enthroned, everything, anything can happen. We must enthrone him. I must enthrone him. I have to take it personal. He has to be on the throne in my mind and in my heart and in my ways, because if he's enthroned, then my ways will please him. We must enthrone him every time we come to church. But we don't have to wait till we come to the building, because you are the church. So wherever you are, you can enthrone him right now. You can give him praise. You can put your hands together right now, no matter where you at, and say, hallelujah, Lord, I thank you for being your child. Every time we pray, we must enthrone him every time we can. I can't wait to see what John the Revelator saw. The throne set in heaven. So I can worship the one that's sitting on the throne. I thought about a song, say, to him that sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. Amen. I can't wait to be able to sing that song. And maybe when I get to heaven, I can sing it just a little bit better. I'll be able to stay in tune, be able to keep the right beat. Jesus knew that his time to die for all humanity was coming. And this was the day that he would suddenly come into his temple. So when they placed Jesus and enthroned him on the back of the donkey, where no one had sat before, something extraordinary happened. The atmosphere became thrilling, electrified, when they enthroned the king. Somebody today, right where you're at, should enthrone him and give him praise. Right where you're at. Even if you're at the kitchen table, put that spoon down or put that fork down for a minute and give God some praise. Amen. Something happened beyond you and me that cannot be explained. Something started moving supernaturally when they enthroned him. Garments came off. Tree limbs started shedding off the trees. Clothes began to be cast before the king. Leaves and limbs bowed to worship him. The Bible said that his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. Matthew 21 and 10 said, and when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? The city was moved by the king. The celebration and the excitement of the city was rejuvenated and full of the atmosphere, adoration, and praise. Now, this is very important because we have to remember the mood of the city. They were under occupation of the Romans. But when the king came in, they forgot about their being occupied and began to praise and adore God. The whole city heard what was happening around there. And when we enthrone him as our God and our king, people are going to hear what's going on around here. And they're going to come and say, what's going on at the worship center? Amen. When we extend our hands in a sacrifice of praise, people will come here to find out what is going on around here. Well, maybe they can't come around here right now because we're not here, but they could come around your house. You can be a worship center wherever, on every street that you live on, whether you live on 22nd, whether you live on Aberdeen, whether you live on Tony, whether you live on Brittenell, it don't matter. You can become a worship center and draw people right from your neighborhood. When we boast to be excited, when we become foolish in our praise to our king. I'm not saying that we have to be foolish in acting unseemly, but we get foolish because we get into the mindset that I can do anything with God. as my helper. And God can do anything. I can lay hands on the sick and God will. I'm doing it for him. I just become an avenue in which he moves through. I become a conduit in where he moves through. It's not me that do the work, but it's him. When we get to that place of belief, I'm telling you, it's hard to stop somebody that believes that they can and that God can. Someone, somewhere is going to hear about it. Someone is going to worship and praise him. Someone is going to be changed and transformed. Someone is going to become a worshiper like never before. Can you worship him? Can you praise him even in your dining room? Can you worship him? Can you praise him even in your living room, in your bedroom? Can we thank him for all our souls, mind and body? Can we thank him? Can we thank him from our soul, our mind, our body? God deserves our praise. Palm Sunday, to the casual, disinterested worshiper, will never experience the true depthness of prayer and intercession in their lives unless they are willing to go beyond the average worshiper. An average worshiper is just one that goes through the motion. You know, sometimes people stand up to sing. They're not singing. They're just clapping their hands and barely doing that. It would be better if you just sit down. God wants all of us. He gave us emotions, and he wants our emotions too. I know some people say, well, it's just an emotion. But you know what? God gave it to me, and I'm going to give it back to him. So if it means that I got to laugh and grin and smile, I'm going to do that. If it means I got to cry, I'm going to do that. If it means I need to run around the church, I'm going to do that. And I know you can't run around the church because you're not here, but you can run around your house. You can run from the living room, dining room, run through the kitchen and be back to your same spot again. You can give him praise no matter where you at, no matter what you're doing, because God deserves our praise. We're the church of the living God. Palm Sunday was a symbol of triumph and victory. When they took the palm branches, they would worship God with a wave of adoration of praise. They would wave it. As the branches would bend, it would bend and extend just like our personal praise should do. Even though they bend, they would come back up. It kind of reminded me of a flower. It can be so pretty. And then a hard rain would come. And that it would beat down on that flower. And it seemed like the flower is dead. But soon as the sun comes, that flower stands right back up. That's the way our praise should be. Even though we go through tests and we go through trials and we're going through some times here, even right now, that we don't know what normal is going to look like in the future. What was normal is no longer normal, and we don't know what it's going to look like, but I guarantee one thing, if we would just give God some praise in the midst of what we're going through, God will give us strength to go through what he's taken us through. We need to reach and stretch and extend our praise to God every day. We need to increase our praise. We need to praise no matter how long we do it. Sometimes you might not be able to praise God for a half hour. Maybe the best you can do is 15 minutes. Well, give God your 15 minutes of good praise. Give him that 5 minutes of good praise. Whatever you could do, some going to be able to give an hour. Give him an hour of that good praise. Give him your very best praise every single day. We need to extend our worship to its fullest length. We need to worship him with everything we have. We need to stretch out toward him. So we bend, but when we get back up, we're stretching out back to him. Hallelujah. We need to reach out to him. Every limb in our body should be praising him. Every mouth and every tongue should be exalting him and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is the King of Israel that come in the name of the Lord. So picture this. Jesus is in the land or in the valley of Kindron. Sounds are everywhere. Multitude upon multitude are shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. Can you believe that in that valley, Can you imagine how that sound was carrying? Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. Below the trail are the gates of the walls of Jerusalem by Herod's temple. There are literally multitudes of people because it is the time of the Passover. See, back then they didn't come and say, well, am I going to the Passover or not? Whether I'm going to celebrate it or not. It was Passover and we will celebrate. It's time to go to Jerusalem and we're going. And they had to start off early because they had to go. It wasn't a question of whether, it was when. So literally, these people, because of the time of the Passover, the city is now excited. They can feel extreme power permeating throughout the air. They are electrified, rejuvenated, and explosive praise is everywhere. Can you imagine how it would be this explosive praise that would break out over here and somebody praising God over here? Amen. Somebody praising God at this house and somebody praising God at that house. Somebody praising them in the bedroom and somebody praising them in the basement. Somebody praising them in the kitchen, in the living room. Amen. Just explosive praise. I believe that's what God wants us to do, to have that explosive praise. Then the miracle of miracles take place. A man come in riding in on his new throne, his little coat. But this is more than just a man. This is the branch of branches. Isaiah 11 and 1 says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and the branch shall grow out of his roots. He was the branch that out of the roots and the stem of Jesse, he came. The Messiah is the beautiful and the glorious branch. He is called the branch of prosperity. Job 8 and 16 says, he is green before the sun, and his branches shooteth forth in his garden. He is the righteous branch. Jeremiah 23 and 5 says, behold, the day comes, said the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign, and prosperity shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. When you let the king in, anything can happen. We need to let him walk in our lives now and take place and handle and take care of our prosperity and all of our needs, because he is able. There is nothing that we need that Jesus cannot handle. Our king goes further. When the King of Kings entered Jerusalem, the people had no idea that this man was the walking tree of life. I want to just stop right there. He's the walking tree of life, that tree of life that they didn't know where it was. That was in the beginning, that was in the Garden of Eden. But they didn't know where it was. Jesus came and he was a walking tree of life, because even death recognized who he was. He's the walking tree of life who would extend further than any of us would go or ever have went. He extended further than any worship could ever extend. Because this Jesus would scourge. He would be scourged until he could no longer stand. Ahead of him was a week of mockery and six trials between night and morning. Outright lies against him and a verdict of guilty that would echo throughout each trial. Guilty, guilty, guilty. That is why I worship him. His branch passed unbearable mockery, undeserved humiliation. It bent beyond human suffering to the unthinkable, indescribable pain. I enthroned him. His skin was literally ripped from his body, creating huge gaping patches. A crown of thorns pressed to his scalp. I enthroned him. He will stretch past Ananias, the high priest, and Cephas' deceit, past the Sanhedrin court, and even past Pilate and Herod. He bent past all of the spit on him, beat him and whipped him with a cat of nine tails, past the Roman soldiers and pierced him in the side, he yet worshiped. He yet forgave. Even though all that he had went through because of that palm, he just bent past it. That's what we have to do. No matter what we're going through, we got to bend past it. No matter who says what, we got to bend past it, because we serve a true and a living God. Hallelujah. He stretched past the legions and past every devil in hell. He is God. I love him because he didn't stop there. He inclined and bent even further. The wonderful tree of Calvary could not be satisfied with a half-hearted sacrifice. If he was half-hearted, he couldn't be up there. But he had to give his all. He had to be willing to give his all. Are you willing, church, to give your all? Are you willing to give your all to Christ even in the midst of what we're going through? Amen. Because it will pass. It's not the first time that they told us to stay inside. I'm reminded. Glory to God. I feel like preaching. I'm reminded when the death angel would come, they were told to stay inside. And the death angel will pass by. It wasn't the first time, but they gave God praise and had the feast of the Passover. Hallelujah. The rich red blood that rolled down the tree of Calvary and spilled on the ground, that shook the very earth for every soul that would ever live. It was for you and for me. He gave us immeasurable love. He paid it all. He was the ultimate unselfishness of God. He is the undisputed grace. He gave incomprehensible mercy. He was the most extreme, supreme sacrifice that was ever known. We could never measure up to what God has done. But he said that I am in him. And he's in me. And because he dwells in me, everything that he conquered, I also conquer. Everything that he won, I also won. Everything that he had, I also have. I'm talking about Palm Sunday. I'm talking about the day that we give God praise for what he's going to do. It was a time that he was going to soon be on the tree. But that's all right. He said, for this cause came I into the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I worship him because he stretched even further than that. Paul said, we are to give thanks to the Father. In Colossians 1, 13 and 14, who have delivered us from the power of darkness, and who has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sin. It wasn't yet enough for him to die. That wasn't all, and that wasn't the end of the story. It wasn't yet for him to die. It wasn't enough for him to be buried. But he would never be satisfied until he stretched forth even further and went on and bent past the glorious resurrection. He even stretched past and went as far as entering into glory so he could baptize you and me with the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He had told his disciples, I go away, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will send the comforter in my name. Hallelujah. He told Joel to tell them that they shall speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance. I want you to know I worship him. Today life is available to us. Life is available to us. Hope lives in us because of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our King, our Savior. He's the only one that's going to be able to bring us out. Come on, no matter where you at, put those hands together and give the Lord a praise. Give him a praise. I'm talking about the King of Glory. I'm talking about the Lord of Hope. I'm talking about Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus, he is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. Put your hand on the radio. Put your hand on your iPad. Come a point of contact. We're getting ready to pray. Come on, believe God. Believe the one that they laid their clothes in front of. Believe the one that they laid their palms in front of. Believe on him, as the scripture have said. The Bible said if we believe on him, as the scripture said, that out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. I enthrone him. I worship him. I praise him because he hears my cry. Because my ways are pleasing in his sight. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, as we come to you, Lord, not just me and not just a few that's here, but Lord, those that are listening and those that are watching, Father, they have concerns this morning. We ask, Lord, that you may have your way. Father, that you may touch them. Lord, that you may rejuvenate them. Lord, that you may excite them. Lord, excite their faith. Ignite that faith. Lord, that they will believe you, that all things are possible through you. Father, we ask even now those that are sick, that you may touch them and raise them in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come in behalf of our leaders, our president, those men and women that surround him. Lord, give him good advice. Touch his heart, Lord. Make his heart soft that he can hear what they're saying in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask, Lord, that you may look on the doctors and the nurses, on those technicians that's on the front line. Let your blood cover right now in the name of Jesus. Father, remember our unsaved loved ones. Touch, Lord, and deliver. Touch, Lord, and save in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we put all things in your hand, and we give you praise, my God. Lord, we rejoice in you, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
To him who sits on the throne, and to the to him who sits on the throne.